Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Glad that you're all here this evening. We'll get our teaching underway here in just a moment. But before we get started, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Binder. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Praise God, our Father, from whom all blessings flow. Praise His name, no matter what you are facing, in full faith of His power, and He will bring you what is needed. And His grace will be sufficient for you to overcome any and all evil. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Ye of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So thank you, Father, for showing us your master plan, mysterious throughout the ages, that resets this flesh age back to the celestial age we first inhabited in the first earth age. So be with us and put your word in our mouths so that wisdom is flawlessly revealed to all here that are listening to usher in our republic and kingdom governance. So fill us with wisdom and understanding and strengthen us as we put on our gospel armor and stay standing without ever flinching. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 29 and verse 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that light is like the light of the world. In other words, being the bearer of light to the world is his burden. And we are to be a witness to the light as well. So thank you, Father, for the light that shines all around the world as witnesses to everyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to spread that light to whoever wants it. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes, yes. Thank you, sir.
Sir.
And before I let Dr. Mosley loose and giving us a teaching tonight, quickly go through the roll here, starting off with Representative Cox. Representative Reed. Representative Binder.
I have Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Rockwell is present. And Representative Schmidt, are you with us tonight? Whoop, he just dropped off. I'll still mark him here as present, and hopefully he'll jump back on, and I can get him to say that he's here. So before, without anything else going on, I'll go ahead and yield to Dr. Mosley for our teaching tonight. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The kingdoms of this world versus the kingdom of God. And over these last months, we've been sharing with you.
Point of order, please. John?
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Schmidt. You dropped off as I mentioned your name.
I lost my internet connection for some reason. And so I ended up having to use my cell phone. So that's why I got a different number. So.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. Are you present with us tonight?
Yes, I sure am. From the frozen tundra of Wisconsin Free State.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Looks like we have three representatives representing three states. And I'll let Dr. Mosley continue here.
And we've been sharing for a number of months differentiating between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. And the fifth kingdom we were dealing with deals with the religious systems of the world and how so many believers, although they have accepted our Lord and Savior as their Lord and Savior, they're still operating in the religious system as the world is operating. So tonight is going to be a slightly different approach, but I'm going to read scripture from the Gospel of St. Matthew concerning the law of resistance and non-resistance. And I don't know whether or not we've touched upon resistance and non-resistance or not, but if we have, we will attempt to embellish upon it a little bit more on this evening. The law of resistance and non-resistance. And I'm going to read a few verses of scripture from the fifth chapter of the book of St. Matthew, starting with the 38th, chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. And of course that's referring to the evil man. Resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I want to read further. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? I'm going to stop here. The law of resistance and non-resistance. And I'm sure most of us on the call have heard the term non-violence suggesting that's the highest level of non-resistance. But my question is whether or not these scriptures point to the fact that there's a higher level of non-violence, and that highest level is that of being non-resistant, and that there is a difference between the two. With your permission, I am going to do a little reading from the book of Daniel, a chapter most of us, if not all of us, are familiar. And it's the chapter 3 of the book of Daniel. Chapter 3, Book of Daniel. And what we're going to endeavor to do is to point up and point out non-resistance in this chapter. And there are many other books of the Bible that also support the fact of non-resistance being the standard for the believer. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud to him, "It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falls not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set under the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" I'm about finished. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner." Now, this is where I want you to see the resistance. But the form of the resistance, that they took, and whether or not this is a standard of how we are to resist when it comes to something dealing with the kingdom, something dealing with a command of Father God, something that we should be obedient to according to Scripture. So let me go back to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. That's after the king had threatened to throw them into the fire of furnace. Let's see how they resisted. And will the way they resisted be different than the way that most believers today would have resisted? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But pay close attention to the next verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, what I want us to get out of this is that these men were still respectful to the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't threaten any kind, and I'm going to be a little exaggerating here with what I'm about to say. They, as I mentioned before, they weren't verbally threatening in any way, form, or fashion. They were not disrespectful at all. But they did pronounce and announce the fact that they would not bow down. Now, that was the extent of their resistance to this point, was just to say, we're going to do what God has commanded us to do. We don't disrespect your king, but as far as serving you, we're not going to do that. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of his fury and the form of his visage, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the east, them unto the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, before I go further, and we don't have but a few more scriptures to read out of this chapter, you may wonder why we're reading so much tonight, but again, I want for me, first of all, and for you who are on the call, to understand the resistance and the form of the resistance that they took as compared to what we consider to be Christian resistance today. Again, as we can see, the only thing they did, they didn't clamor, they didn't threaten, they didn't voice their objection. They were not disobedient at all to the king. They were not disrespectful to the king. They basically said that we are not going to bow down. But the next point is what I want to make. Basically, they said, whatever punishment that is going to come to us because we choose to obey God instead of obeying you, we are willing to accept whatever ramifications that come forth as a result of us being more inclined to follow that which God says as opposed to what you say. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men down into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. But what happened here? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego observed the highest level of resistance. So what is that highest level? That highest level to say, I am going to obey God regardless of what it costs me. And let's take it into the day's setting. Perhaps today, somebody would have, if they had access to a computer, they would have Googled, they would have gone on Facebook, they would have marched, they would have boycotted, they would have done everything that was available to them in the natural to exhibit their displeasure for what the king had ordered them to do. The point here, as it relates to resistance and non-resistance, is that, and I hopefully that those who are on the call will have some comments on this once I finish my last few statements. But I perceive that this, although it's New Testament, Old Testament, and there's many other Old Testament accounts that support this proposition, as well as New Testament accounts. But the message to the church is that we are not to be involved in a worldly resistance, but if it's something that deals with what Spirit of God has commanded us to do, that we're to stand on that, but be willing to accept whatever consequences that come forth as a result of it. Now, I've alluded to this earlier, but as most of you, if not all of you, are aware that I'm African-American. And what I'm about to say, if I were to say this in 90% or more of the African-American churches, they would probably run me out, because they have been inclined to have the opinion that nonviolence is the highest level of non-resistance. But based upon this scripture and what I draw from it and from many other scriptures, the impression of the understanding I get, it goes higher than nonviolence. The highest level of resistance, and the only time we can resist an order from one in authority is when it violates the word of God. So then, the only time as believers we have the authority to resist is when it deals with a command from God that somebody is demanding that we violate and do something different. But even though it may be something that is illegal in the natural realm or in the spirit realm, that if someone in authority has commanded that we do so, then we're willing to accept the punishment, but we trust God to either deliver us from it or to carry us through it. I was not too coherent tonight, as is obvious. My voice is giving me some challenge, and I'm having some other challenges, but I did want to at least bring this portion of the lesson to you, dealing with the law of resistance and non-resistance. With that being said, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Always good to have you teach us and give us new insights on things maybe hadn't thought about before. So, again, I appreciate that. Going to go ahead and open up the floor now if somebody's got some questions or comments for you.
Mr. Russell, Mark Finder, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thanks for another good teaching, Dr. Mosley. It's something that we always need to remember is the fact that we should always obey God's word first, and we shouldn't put it ahead of man's word or man's law. So if we can always obey the law of nature and of nature's God, and not violate any of the commandments, and you know, try to stay lawful, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. And I know the scripture comes to mind for this event, to me at least, is the Bible tells us that we should be wiser than serpents, but seem harmless as doves. So until we have the, until we follow the law of resistance and non-resistance, we should try to at least seem like we respect those individuals that have authority over us. And we can look forward to something better during the kingdom age. And I yield. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
This kind of, to me, kind of points towards Martin Luther King Jr. and how had the demonstrations back in the 1960s, rather than attacking, you know, police officers and burning stuff down like what is Antifa and BLM, they took nonviolent approach, and you know, sure they took that there, but the thing is, sure they got attacked and everything else, but the thing is, they had a different way of looking at that, you know, different point with that. And it worked out a lot better that way because other people's property is not getting destroyed. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to interject something here based upon what Representative Schmidt mentioned to us. Do we discern a difference between being nonviolent and being non-resistant? Are they the same or are they different? And that's the point we're endeavoring to make tonight. The question is whether or not nonviolent is the same as being non-resistant. Now, clearly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were non-resistant. But let me take it to another level. What about strikes against the company for more wages? What about boycotts of a business that is not being fair to their customers or their employees, I should say? So my question in that regard is that, is nonviolence the same as being non-resistant? It's a thin line, but I'm trying to see whether or not we can draw a difference or differentiate between the two. Does non-resistance allow one to march against a business that's not being fair? Or does non-resistant say that I am not going to take any overt action against that entity, although that entity has wronged me, it has wronged many others, I'm going to allow the power of the Spirit of God to deal with this situation, and I'm not going to bring forth any activity that's contrary to this particular business. I went on somewhat with a lot of verbiage, but hopefully you got the point. Is there a difference? And this is something I'd like us to dig into a little more deeply, because I think it's something that the body of Christ needs to be made aware. But is there a difference? Are they the same, nonviolent, non-resistant, or is one higher in the spirit realm than the other? I clearly get the point that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel later in the book of Daniel, pursued the path of non-resistance. It was a higher law than just being nonviolent. I yield back again, Mr. Speaker.
This is Representative Mark Miner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I would say violence, which is something the Republic does not condone, is a action. It's action against an individual or a group or an authority. But resistance can be dealt with as far as words, as far as a nonviolent protest. And that's That's how I interpret it anyway. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, if not, does anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative Mark Bynum. I have the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I would say, going through your own mind, whether you need to, what kind of action you need to take, you should use the Bible as your guideline. Cause to effect has many examples in there. And since God is the same yesterday as he is today as he will be tomorrow, his laws aren't very likely to change much at all. And until our environment changes, we'll say. So that's the best thing you can do is use that guide. It's just full of wisdom. Proverbs is a great example. And it gives a lot of information so you don't have to actually experience everything you're going through, because you can just draw on that Book of Proverbs or any other place in the Bible, and I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Some good thoughts for sure. Anybody else? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative David Schmidt. Making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, February 6th at 8 p.m. Central. With that, a yield.
This is our Representative Mark Binder seconding that motion.
All right, thank you very much. We got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, well, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned tonight. And before we go our separate ways, Dr. Mosley, you want to close us in prayer?
Well, we come again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for this another day. And we just thank you that we're hungry for your word. We're hungry to know more clearly the laws of life that you have ordained for us. And the matter that we mentioned tonight, we just ask that each of us will search our hearts, that we will be prayerful, that if there's any significant difference that we ought to know concerning that which was mentioned tonight with respect to non-resistance and non-violence, that you would bring to our attention, you would clarify the difference, if any, between the two. And Father, we just want to make certain that we are clear with respect to your word as it relates to every component of our lives. And we know that you're faithful to that promise. So if we desire to learn more in this particular area, we know that your spirit will bring it to us. And we just ask between now and the next time we meet, if there's any additional understanding that we ought to know concerning this particular subject matter, versus the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. We just ask that you would bring it to us. So we thank you, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise. In the precious name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Blessings, everybody. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Good night.